Hey guys, thanks for joining us on Real Faith Radio, presented by Praise Chapel Las Vegas. Subscribe to us on Apple and Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, and Spotify to get notified when new episodes are available to download or stream. You can also follow us on social media at PC Las Vegas and visit our website, praisechapellasvegas.com, to find out more about us and give online. Thanks again for joining and enjoy today's message.
Praise, amen. Go ahead and grab a seat. Praise the Lord, amen. I want you to turn to our text in Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, I'm reading out the NIV translation. And so it says like this, and you'll see it on the monitor right now. It says, as they approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. And Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you'll find a young donkey there, tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it, and he'll send it back here shortly. And they went, and they found a colt outside in the streets, tied to a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? And Jesus, they answered as Jesus told them, and the people let him go. And when they brought the colt to Jesus, they threw their cloaks over it. He sat on it, and many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches that they cut in the fields. And those that went ahead and those that followed shouted, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Today, I want to minister a message on that, just entitled that, Hosanna in the highest. Somebody say, Hosanna in the highest. Amen. The definition of Hosanna means this. It's adoration, praise, or joy. Amen. Here in this passage of scriptures, we find our Lord Jesus Christ days before the crucifixion. This was the beginning of the great Passover festival. It was a Jews from all over the Roman Empire came for a week-long celebration. Come on, someone tell your neighbor, there's a party going on right here. There is a party going on. It's a celebration and remembrance of the great Exodus from Egypt. Come on, how many know that we need to celebrate every day we wake up? Come on, somebody. And celebrate what God delivered us from our Egypt, amen? Come on, we had a great exodus in our lives, and it's something that we need to celebrate, amen? See, many in the crowd had heard or have seen Jesus before, and as the word was out, it was going out that Jesus that day was going to come into the temple. Come on, tell your neighbor, Jesus is going to show up. Come on, turn to somebody else. Jesus is going to show up. Come on. See, in verses 8 through 9 of the text I read, we see that something great is going on here. As we read this story, amen, something is about to happen, amen. The atmosphere was pumped up, amen. I mean, it was on like Donkey Kong. I mean, there's something's about to take off here, amen. You can just feel it, amen, as people are gathering around Jesus, amen. And you notice here that Jesus didn't come on a horse. He didn't come in as a king, amen. He didn't come in flashing his royalty, amen. He came gentle and peaceful, riding on a donkey. Zechariah 9:9 says this, rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you, and he is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey. You see, in this part of history, church, we are seeing prophecy being unfolded right before our eyes. Prophecies of 100 years ago now being fulfilled right here in this passage of Scripture. John chapter 12, verses 12 to 14 says this, the next day, somebody say next day, the next day the great crowd had come to the festival and heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and they went out meeting him, shouting, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Come on, somebody say Hosanna, Hosanna. In the highest. Come on, church. Jesus began his last week here on earth. Listen, by riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, under a canopy of palm branches, with crowds praising him as their king, to announce that he indeed was the Messiah. Jesus chose the time when all Israel would be gathered in Jerusalem. Come on, a place where huge crowds can see him and proclaim his mission. Today is that day, church. Today is that day, Palm Sunday. We celebrate Jesus' victory entrance into Jerusalem as Lord of Lords and King of Peace. Come on. A few days later, they would turn against him. And we'll see that on Good Friday. But I'm here to let you know that Jesus, somebody say Jesus. Jesus truly comes to save. Amen. You see, Jesus' purpose is to save you and I. That's why we're here today. He came to save us. He came to really save all humanity. Hosanna in the Hebrew and the Greek means save. They were shouting praises of Hosanna in the highest. Psalms 118:25 says, please, Lord, please save us. Please, Lord, please give us success. Verse 26 says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Here is showing that Hosanna in the biblical Hebrew meaning means praise, save us, please save us, but it also means a cry of praise. So Hosanna in the Greek means save, rescue, Savior. Save, rescue, Savior. So from a plea to save us, there's a shift right here in this passage of Scripture to from concern to confidence in verse 26, where it says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Matthew chapter 1, 21 says, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus in the Greek comes from the word Joshua, which also means the Lord saves. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, 15, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He came to save sinners. That's you and I, guys. He came to save you. Tell your neighbor, he came to save me. Come on, he came to save. Everyone here qualifies. Come on, if you're a sinner, go like this. We're all sinners, amen. But thank God that he came to save the sinner, amen. Come on, he came to save us from our infirmities, amen, from our sickness, from our bondage of sin, amen. He came to heal, listen, the brokenhearted. He came to open the eyes of the blind. Come on, he came to set the captive free. Come on, someone say hallelujah. Come on, all of us at one time or another, amen, we're brokenhearted. We couldn't see. We were blind. Amen. We were not set free. Amen. But Jesus came to set us free. Isaiah 53:4 says, surely he took up our infirmities and he carried our sorrows. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. Come on. Luke chapter 4:18-19 says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, amen, and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, amen, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Come on, Jesus is quoting from Isaiah 61. In Isaiah 61, if you know the passage of Scripture there, it's speaking of the deliverance of Israel from exile in Babylon. It's the year of Jubilee. Come on, somebody. Jubilee means all debts are canceled. Come on. All slaves are free. Come on. And property is returned to its original owner. Come on, somebody. Do you understand what I just read? Amen. Come on. We were blinded. We were oppressed. We were broken. We were slaves to sin. And Jesus came off to pay your debt. Amen. And set you free. Come on. Everything that you owe, he says, I'll pay it. Come on. Everything that you did, he says, I'll pay off the debt. He came to cancel your debts. And listen, and then we are returned, listen, to our original owner. See, sin, church, separates us from God. But when he paid off our debt, guess what? It reconnected us back to God. Come on, we're back. We're no longer to that owner. Come on, the devil, amen. Now we go back to our owner, our original owner, where we were made, church. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Isn't that awesome? Some of you guys need to be going, yeah, shouting, hallelujah. Come on. We were on our way to hell, Jesus. I mean, come on, right? We were lost, bound, confused, amen. And then he comes and cancels your debt. Your charges have been dropped. Come on, you're out of the system. Come on, the devil can't throw it back against you anymore. You are back to the original owner. We belong to Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Amen? But in Isaiah 61, they were released from Babylon, but they were still a conquered and oppressed people. So Isaiah must have been speaking of the one. Come on, somebody. The one that will fulfill that. And we see that here in Mark chapter 11 with Jesus Christ. When Jesus spoke it in Luke 4, he announced it boldly. Come on, the scripture spoken that day was being fulfilled. The blind began to see. The oppressed were set free, and the chains fell off the captives. Jesus himself was proclaiming as the one bringing the good news. Yet the people would still not understand it because he had not been crucified and resurrected. So you need to understand, church, that Jesus came to set us free. Yeah. Come on, he saved us, amen. Someone say, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. See, miracles and wonders are being taken place already. Come on, he's in his third year of ministry and he's performing miracles after miracles, church. Jesus is there and people are getting saved, amen. Performing those things. I mean, people are getting healed. People are getting restored. Come on. He's casting out demons. Amen. And he's raising the dead. Come on, somebody. Look what it says in Luke chapter 4, 38 to 40. It says, Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left. Somebody say, it's gone. And she got up at once and began to wait on them. The New Living Translation said that she got up at once and prepared a meal for them. See, Jesus heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law completely, so completely that the fever broke. But not only her fever broke, but her strength was restored just like that. Come on, she immediately got up and took care of the needs of others. What a beautiful attitude of service that was shown here. Amen. Listen, God gives us health that we can serve others. I said, God gives us health that we can help others. God gives you good health that you can bless somebody. Come on, our good health is to reach those that are not in good health. Can somebody say amen? It goes on to say in Luke chapter 4, 40 to 41, at sunset, the people brought Jesus, all who had had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one of them. Each one of them. He didn't bypass anyone. When you come to Jesus and you're looking for a healing and you want something from him, he'll give it to you. Amen. Come on. Everyone that came, it says, everyone, he laid hands on each one of them and he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, you are the Son of God, but he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. Come on, how did these demons know that he was the Messiah? Huh? Come on. Because these were the demons that got kicked out of heaven when they were with him. Come on. There he is. That's Jesus. That's the Messiah right there. So they started to speak those things because they were there when Satan got kicked out and the angels went with him. So the word is out here in this passage of scripture that Jesus saves. Jesus heals. The word is out that Jesus came to set the captive free. In John chapter 9, verses 1 through 34, and I'm not going to read all that, but it talks about a man born blind. And the disciples asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents? In other words, why was this man born blind? And Jesus says, it was neither, but he was born for a purpose. Come on, tell somebody you're born with a purpose. He was born with a purpose so that the power of God, listen, might be displayed in his life. And the story goes on to say that Jesus spits on the ground, amen. He makes mud out of it. He rubs it in the eyes of the blind man and told him to go wash it off. And for the very first time in his life, he began to see. Come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor, that's a miracle. That's a miracle there. Someone say, I can see. Can you see? Like my wife said, not only you need to know Jesus, you need to see Jesus. Yeah. Come on, you need to see Jesus in your circumstance. You need to see Jesus in your life. You need to see Jesus with some hope. Come on. Like I said before, there is no hope in the Pope. There's only hope in Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Amen. John chapter 9, 31 to 33 says this. This is the blind man speaking. He says, we know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who will worship him and do his will. Ever since the world began, no one has ever been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. If this man was not from God, he could not have done it. In other words, this man, I'm paraphrasing here, amen. He told him, I don't know who this man is. I don't know where he comes from. I don't know any of that, but one thing I know. Now he's starting to give truth. Now he's giving a testimony. He says, one thing I know. I was once blind. I've never seen in my life before, but today I see, hallelujah. Today I can see, amen. Come on, only God can do this. Somebody say, only God. Only God can do this. Only God can heal me. Only God can set me free from drugs and alcohol. Only God can restore a broken marriage. Only God, amen, can make me see once again. Only God, only God, only God, church. Only God is why you're here today. It's only God. Somebody say, only God. We're here today because it's only God. Has nothing to do with you. Has nothing to do for anything else. It's only God. I mean, thank God for programs. Thank God for things that are out there. Thank God for triple A, 4A, whatever kind of A. But not today, eh? It's only God. I stand here still married because only God. I stand here, amen. Come on, recovered alcoholic, only God. I'm only here because of God. Come on, it's not my good deeds. It's not nothing of anything that I possess myself. It's only God. And that's what the people need. You need to tell the people, you know, how does that happen? Only God. At my workplace, how come you never lose it? Only God. Don't. I'm not saying I don't think it. Hello, right? It's only God that gives me the strength to carry on. It's only God that gives me the strength, amen. And you know what? I feel like all hell's coming at me, but only God gets me through it. It's only God. And this man says, you know what? I don't know who this person is. But I do know I was once blind, and he touched me, and now I see. And if this man was not from God, he could not have done it. This guy is from God. Psalms 34, 15 says, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and their ears are open for their cries for help. God hears you. Tell your neighbor, God hears you. God hears us, church. And we call out to him. He comes to us. Jesus came to heal. Come on, somebody say Hosanna.
Hosanna.
In the highest. Now, if we go back to the victory celebration back in our text in Mark chapter 4. Like I said, something powerful is happening here. Come on, there's shouts of joy that are being echoed throughout Jerusalem. The crowd came out to see Jesus, the one that can open the blinded eyes, the one that raises the dead, the one that casts out demons, the one that sets the captive free, the one, listen, church, that saves. He's riding a donkey, and people are throwing clothes on the ground, and others, amen, cut branches in the field, and they're waving it around, amen. They're giving a celebration as he comes into town. And Jesus enters the city, and palm branches are all over him, and just waving a canopy of palm branches all over him in a great celebration. And they're shouting, and they're singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Come on. It was a good day in Jerusalem. Come on, you ever had a good day? Is today one of those days? Come on, hallelujah. Come on, I'm talking about a good day that you wake up, man, and everything's just flowing. The coffee came out just right. Come on, that breakfast burrito hit the spot. Come on, you woke up, amen. Your spouse is happy, you're happy, and the kids are ready to go to school. Come on, you're not fighting them. They're already dressed. Whoa, what happened? Come on. You ever had one of those days, amen, where everything is connected, everything's flowing? I mean, you're happy. Come on, you're smiling. I mean, everything is just good. Come on, somebody say, it's good. I'm on. Come on. Only God. That's right. Only God can give us those good days, amen. But you ever just wake up just, man, happy? Come on, you wake up, man, and it just feels good. Everything is just flowing, amen. I mean, you see, it's easy, church, to celebrate when everything's going well. Come on, it's easy to celebrate when there's a party going on. Come on, it's easy to come to church where everyone is happy, mama's happy, and everyone likes you. Right? It feels good, amen. It's easy, amen, when everyone is flowing divinely. It's easy to sing when you just got paid, just got healed. Come on, it's easy to praise him after getting a raise on the job. Come on, it's easy to praise him, amen, when he answers a prayer of yours. Come on, it's easy, church, when everything's flowing, everything's good. You have no problem saying, thank you, Jesus. You have no problem saying, Hosanna. In the highest. Come on, it's a good. Somebody say it's good. See, it's when it's good, there's no problem in doing that, church. But how about when everything's not good? Come on, everybody went, How about when things are not going your way? Come on, when you're going through that trial, that battle, will you continue to sing? Come on, will you continue to shout? Come on, will you continue to wave your palm branches and wave it around like no one cares? Don't worry, I'm not throwing curses or nothing on you. Come on, will you continue to wave those palm branches? I mean, will you continue to lift up your hands and say, thank you, Jesus, amen. Come on, we may not have palm branches this, but these are our palm branches, church. Will you continue to praise God in the midst of a storm and battle and say, God, I'm going to raise my hands. I don't feel like raising them, but I'm going to raise them. I don't feel like shouting, but I'm going to shout because you're a good God. You're a faithful God. Come on, are you going to wave your branches, church? Will you praise him through the storm? Yeah. See, our answer right now is that, yes, it's good. We're going to do this. Because come on, it's easy to say that, and we have confidence when we're all together. Yeah. Just like they did that day. How about when you're alone? How about when you're back home? How about when you're surrounded by all those things that make you feel depressed? Oh, wow. Come on. How about when the party is over and there is no celebration going on, but you just got a bad report, a report from the doctor. Come on, you just got fired. Are you going to still sing? Are you going to still shout? Come on, somebody help us. See, these people were singing. They were shouting, but they stopped. The same people at the celebration that were singing Hosanna in the highest stopped. These same people that were waving the palm branches stopped. Those singing, blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord, stopped. These same people a few days later will be shouting something else. They won't be shouting Jesus, but Barabbas. These same people who were shouting, Hosanna, 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 amen. A few days later, we'll be saying, crucify, crucify, crucify. Isn't that typical for some Christians today? That when everything is flowing, when everything is good, when pastor's not giving you, come on, a rebuke or a correction. Yeah. Come on, somebody. We have no problem singing. Yeah. We have no problem shouting. Giving, serving, or coming to church. We have no problem waving our palm branches. But when things are not good, when life throws you a curveball, well. Come on, somebody say, well. When that storm, listen, shows up in your life, when you're face to face with a situation, when you are still sick and your marriage has problems and your back has problems and your finances are in trouble, amen. When you feel all alone, when you become selfish in your own ways and you complain, I don't have this and I don't have that. It's a different story now. Okay. Come on, we're singing a different tune now. Yeah. Some of us, during those times, won't even come to church. So you got to understand, church, that Jesus died for that storm. He laid down his life for that situation you're going through. Come on, he died that you can change your selfish ways. He made a way when there was no way. Come on, he's the way maker, the promise keeper. He is the light in your darkness, church. Yet at times, I'm saying at times, we put Jesus back on that cross. We complain and we murmur and we say, where are you? Come on, hello. The people in our text were excited. This is a great celebration. Everybody's in it. Everybody's shouting. Everybody's singing. Everybody's in the same tune. Everybody's flowing. It was a good day, church. They were praising God. They were recognizing Jesus right here fulfilling prophecy. But yet they did not understand where Jesus' kingship would lead him. This same crowd that shouted, crucify, only a few days later when Jesus was on trial. And just like those who witnessed Jesus' victory parade that day, we too expect God to do something to make our lives better. Make it more easier, Make it more enjoyable. But just like those spectators that day, we can't wait to see our suffering stop. We can't wait to see injustice get corrected, for prosperity hit our lives, or Jesus to do some kind of miracle in our situation. But just like those people that day in Jerusalem, we have a lot, listen, a lot to learn about Jesus' death and resurrection. Come on, we must not let our personal desires or what we think it should be like in our lives get caught up in the midst of the celebration, in the midst of the singing church, or we too, listen, will miss the true meaning of discipleship. In our excitement and in our celebration and in those good days, church, we must remember, amen, that following Jesus involves hardships. It involves suffering, battles, and storms. Somebody say, oh my. Listen, church, even death. See, we forget all that. We think following Jesus is just a parade all the time. That everything's just good all the time. But no, guess what? Persecution comes. There's suffering. Our Lord and Savior suffered. We're going to suffer as well, church. Or are you going to keep shouting Hosanna no matter which is your life? See, we got to make up our minds. Come on, I minister about making up our minds, amen. A few weeks ago, man, we got to make up our minds. It's Jesus all the way. Come on, I'm not turning back. I'm not going back. Come on, it's Jesus all the way. I found the answer in life, and that answer is Jesus. Come on. You don't need to look anywhere else. Come on, Jesus is the answer. I'm not going back because I'm going through a hard time. I'm not going to quit because things are not flowing my way or I'm not getting the things that I think I deserve. I'm going to serve God no matter what. Come on, somebody. Come on. It's easy, like I said, to serve Him when everything's well, but it's those seasons that where you are. Are you a true disciple? Will you follow Him in that storm? Will you follow Him wherever He goes? Because wherever He goes, there's suffering. There's battles. There's hardships. But guess what? He's with you. Come on. He went through it. We can get through it, church. But you got to make up a decision. It's Jesus. I found my answer. I don't need to go nowhere else. I don't need to seek anything else. I found Jesus. He is the answer, church. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 10, 34 to 35. I'll read on the Message Bible. And it says this, and this is Jesus speaking to us. He says, don't think I've come to make your life cozy. It says, I've come to cut off these domestic arrangements and free you for God. I've come to cut those things that take you away from me. Come on, I'm not here to make life cozy for you. I'm not here to be a genie for you. I'm not here that you rub my lamp and I give you everything you want. I'm here to change your life. I'm here to save you. I'm here to redeem you. I'm here to clear your debt. I want to free you up for God. That's what He came to do, church, to free us up for God. Come on, life gets hard sometimes, doesn't it? Tell your neighbor, it gets hard. It gets hard sometimes. Come on. I've been pastoring for over 23 years, and I know the hardness. I've been serving God for 29 years. Amen. I know the hardness of what life is. No one promised me a rose garden. Amen. No one says, give your life in Jesus, and everything's going to be perfect for you. No, they told me, you choose Jesus, you choose the suffering. You choose what He goes through, that's where you're going to go through. But I tell you, He made it through, you'll make it through. And I thank God for people telling me the truth, amen, and didn't try to water down the gospel. They say, this is the gospel. Life is going to get hard. The devil's going to come after you. Come on, things are going to hit your life. Even Jesus says, in this life, you will have troubles and persecution. All this will come. But He says, be a good cheer. I've overcome the world. Come on, if Jesus is living inside of us, church, we're going to overcome the world. Can somebody say amen? But there are times, man, we're getting hit from all sides. Come on, we get slapped here, kicked there, socked there. I mean, it comes from everywhere, from behind, side, front, everywhere. You know what I'm talking about? Come on. Man, we've gone through a rough week. Man, we go to conference and just roughness. I go to receive only to get slapped, only to get kicked, only to get, you know, slapped from behind. All this stuff just starts hitting our lives. We have gone through a rough week. Come, babe. Been rough, but we're still here. Come on. Devil, you can huff and puff all you want, but you're not going to tear down this house. Come on. I'm not going to answer that door. I know what you're trying to sell, and I'm not buying it. Tell your neighbor, I'm not going to buy that. I'm going to trust Jesus. Come on, we've gone through it, amen. There are times, amen. Come on, come on, all of us have gone. Why am I going through this? You ever said that to God? Why am I going through this? Come on, I love you, Lord. I serve, I give, I do. Why am I going through this? Amen. Why haven't you healed me? Where are you, God? You ever shout that to God? Yeah. Come on, let's get real, church. At times, what crosses our mind, we often even think sometimes there is no God. Come on. Why would he do this to me? Why did he let that person die in my life? Why am I still sick? Why are my kids still lost? Why can't I get past this struggle? Why am I still broken, God? Come on, have you ever thought that? Listen, we all have weaknesses that are within us. Come on, somebody. Come on, there's still sin within us, church. Come on. But when our weakness is controlled, listen, by the Holy Spirit, when we are bridled by the Holy Spirit, amen, when he is guiding us and he is helping us, church, come on, that's something that we have to do on a daily basis, amen. He's guiding us, he's restraining us, he's governing us, amen. And when that Holy Spirit is within us, he's telling us, don't think that, don't say that, don't go there, don't see, don't do doing it, don't do it. He's the one directing us. And when we are controlled by him, just like that bit from a horse that bridles a horse, and with that you can stir wherever you want to go, that horse wants to go to. You can control. If we allow the Holy Spirit to do that in our lives, he'll guide us and help us through. But this is a daily thing that we got to ask for the Holy Spirit. Help me. Fill me. Come on, Holy Spirit, just fill me. Burn the impurities, the iniquities within my life, God. I want to be cleansed. I want to be used by you. You direct me. You guide me. Because we all deal with this flesh. Come on, somebody. Come on, Monday morning, tomorrow, and some flesh here don't want to wake up tomorrow. Amen. Come on. Right? Let's just be truthful. Amen. We don't want to go to work. We don't want to wake up. We want Sunday to last forever. God knows we deal with this flesh, church. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10, it says, three times, somebody say three times, I begged the Lord to take it away. And each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So I am now glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in insults, hardships, persecution, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Someone say strong. Serving God is not always going to be a party, church. But we should be praising it like it is. Because God shows up in our weakness. Hasn't he shown up for us, babe? Man, let me tell you what we gone through last week. When you get sucker punched by the devil and you get hit by this and hit by that, you get a call that your church got broken into. If you didn't know that, that's what happened last weekend. We got broken into. Yet nothing was stolen. But when you get hit in there, like, God, what's going on? What's going on? Amen. It's the encounter. We want to encounter. We're going to go through some suffering and encounter God, church. Come on. We're encountering God. I'm encountering God and say, God, you're showing up. God, yeah, we got broken too, but there's nothing stolen. Yeah, we got this, but we can take care of it. Come on. God shows up. Come on, in our weakness, man, we were hit from all sides, but then he shows up. Come on, he strengthens my wife and I because you guys are praying and we're coming together as a family. And that's what family does, that when one is down, we pick the other one up. Come on, church. We celebrate when everyone celebrates, but we also mourn when everybody's going through a season. We're here to lift up each other. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Come on, that's what family is. Somebody say familia. Y que? No. Some of you guys, what's y que? Come on. The hood's still in you. Come on, somebody. Don't look at me like I don't know what you're talking about. We just belong to a different hood. I say we just belong to a different hood. The good hood. Church, he shows up in our weakness. Come on, the fact that God's power is displayed in our weakness should give you and I courage and hope. Because he shows up each and every time, church. Come on, we can be at our lowest and he brings somebody to pick us up. Come on, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Come on, he's strong in us, church. He's the lifter of our head. He is the protector. He's our guide. He's our everything, church. Come on, we feel like we're depleted and we say, where are you, God? And God says, I'm right here. I haven't left you. I see you. I hear your cries because I'm close to the brokenhearted. And I rescue those whose spirits have been crushed. And I hear the cries of my people. God hears you, church. The devil's the one that says he's ignoring you. You just tell that devil, shut up. Come on, somebody say, shut up and get out. Come on. Get out of my way. You're blocking my God. Come on, you're blocking my God. Get out of the way. I don't know about you, but I'm going to sing no matter what I face. I'm going to shout Hosanna in the midst of my troubles. And I'm still going to praise him no matter what hits my life. How about you? Church, it's easy to say when we're gathered, but you got to take that confidence. You got to take that hope inside of you outside. So that when that storm hits you, you got to encourage yourself when no one's around in the Lord. That's what David did, right? When Saul was hunting him down, trying to kill him, when he was hiding in that cave, come on, the Bible says that he found his strength in the Lord. Nobody was around him, amen, but he knew who his God was, amen. He found strength in the Lord, and that's what we need to do is understand that we're going to go through some suffering, amen, but God is always with us. Find your strength in the Lord. Come on, you know the story of David. He went in running and hiding, but he came out like a king. Come on, he came out a king, church. Come on, he came out like gold. Hallelujah. Come on, we come out of gold, amen, from our suffering, amen. When we are weak, then he shows how strong he is and he works in us. Because we can be strong. Can somebody say amen? I'm going to close today. We must celebrate. Come on, and we are reminded of all the miracles. Are you a miracle of God? Come on, be reminded what he's done in your life, amen. This is this today, the start of Holy Week, this Palm Sunday is to remind us of all the miracles that God has done in our lives. We cannot forget what he's done, church. Come on, we get hit by something and like we forget what he did before. Like, where are you? Where are you now? Yeah, you did this and we go to, what about now? Why don't you reflect on what he's done for you and then he'll help you in there now. Come on, don't forget what God has done. Sometimes we have to walk down memory lane, amen, and be reminded of how good God is. Every morning I wake up, I thank Him for the breath of life. I thank Him, God, I'm breathing today. There's air in my lungs. I thank Him for saving me, healing me, and restoring a broken life, church. I stand before you as a miracle of God. I stand before you as seeing the miracles of God as well. Appreciate and keep praising Him, shouting Hosanna through it all, church. When we sing Hosanna, we acknowledge His King, Jesus' ultimate sacrifice and what it means to us and all mankind. So that when we are weak, then He is strong, church. We are strong. Can somebody say amen? Amen. God's a good God. We all go through things. Maybe you're going through something right now. We're going through something. But God has always been there for us. And I look back and I reflect all the things in my life. And there are times when things hit me and there's things that go within my life that come against me, amen, that I look back and reflect, God, you've been good. I'm going through a storm and a battle right now, but God, you've been good. So I know that if you took me off those past storms and got me through, you'll get me through this storm. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to sing Hosanna. I'm going to wave my palm branches. I'm going to love you. Come on. He's taken me out of sick beds in my life. He's taken me and restored a broken marriage that should not be even here. I should not even be here. But only God, right? But through all that in our lives, church, we got to reflect on the things that He's done inside our lives. And when you start to look at the goodness of God and how He saved you, then you look at your storm now and says, you'll get me through this. God, you'll never abandon me. The Bible says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And you got to hold on to that promise that God will always be there for you. You got to keep your eyes on the prize, church. You got to keep going forward. You got to keep trusting God. Man. Last Sunday we woke up and my mother-in-law wasn't feeling good, and so I said, you know what, babe, we're not going to church. I'll call the church and say, church, you have church. Have a celebration, have church. Amen. I gotta handle this. We gotta handle this. And when she fainted in my arms and I was laying on the floor, and I'm laying there and she's on me right here, and I'm trying to just keep her up. And I think I'm losing her. And I see my wife's face, look at her face, and says, my mom is dying. And I said, oh, no, Lord. You're not going to do this. I picked her up, and I said, and I just try to keep her up, and I try to bring her to, and she'll come in and out. And I said, God, you need to show up. You've got to show up. And I kept her up, and she came back, and she threw up, and I had a bag there until the paramedics got there. But only God. Only God. We got her in. She got revived by God. And when she complained one time, we knew that she was back. If you know my mother-in-law, you know what I'm talking about. There was one complaint that God gave us. I got her. And she just had a little attitude in the ambulance. And then I looked at my wife and said, oh, she's okay. I mean, she wasn't out of the woods, guys. But that moment told me that I got this. I'm not taking her right now. And gave us confidence. And we went there and we spent the day there. And this is what family does. We spent the day there and you guys prayed and gave us a strength. And we were there and she finally came back and she was talking and she was doing her thing. And they had to do a blood transfusion inside of her, and so she got one bag of blood in, and so the second bag is getting connected, and she looks at us, and it was our anniversary last Sunday. Thank you. 40 years. 40 years. I know I look 30, but 40 years. And that's where we celebrate it. We celebrate it with family. I could have been mad or had plans and didn't eat that steak I wanted to eat. But I got my rib eye right there. Amen. That rib caught my eye. But we made the best out of it. And I said, hey, this is our 40th. We're going to remember our 40th. I can tell you that. Only God. Only God. And so we just stood there, and she wanted us to go, and she was saying, this is your anniversary, go. I said, we're not leaving you. We're going to celebrate here. And so as she got the second bag going in, goes, that time it was around 3 o'clock, and we haven't ate nothing. He goes, why don't you just go eat something, come on, and we'll come back. I said, well, we're going to go. And there's a Denny's just right across the street from the hospital, and that's what we had for our 40th anniversary was a Denny's special. Senior special. The good part is, there's a lot less than I was expected to pay from where we were going. But we had dinner or lunch or whatever it was, amen. And we sit there. And through all that, I've been sharing this, and I shared it on Wednesday. Through all that, my wife notices a waiter just waiting on tables, and he looked like he had a stressful day. We didn't know what his day was all about. And my wife, through all that, through her being depleted and us being weakened, God still showed us others. And my wife says, look at him. I think he has a rough day. And I looked at him, I said, yeah. He's just running. He's the only one serving tables at that time. He's a young Latino kid. You know, you can tell that he had a rough life. He's going through some stuff. And so he comes over real quickly and says, you know, I'm going off my shift right now. Is there anything else I can get you? And I said, no, but can we pray for you? He goes, yeah. And so my wife starts ministering to her, to this young man, ministering to him. And here's he ministering after she's been depleted from her mom. Her mom, we almost lost her mom, and now she's giving out. And she reaches out, and we start ministering to this young man. And then we grabbed his hands on both sides, and my wife grabs his hand, and I grab his hand at the table, and we start to pray for him. And then the Spirit of God just touches him, and he starts to cry. And he says, you don't know what that meant. And then he started explaining that I lost my home, I did this, I'm working hard. I've been here since 5 o'clock in the morning, I haven't had a break. I said, we see it all over you, but God's coming after you. I said, God values you. God loves you. We started to speak life into his life. Amen. And he was just full of tears. And he gets up and he just hugs both of us with the biggest hug. And he left with hope. And he knows where we're at. Hopefully we'll see him one day. But if not, that was a moment for us to say, you know what? We still do what we do. Mama's taken care of. Reach out to others that are not. Sometimes we've got to look beyond ourselves, even in the midst of troubles, guys. That God still wants to use us. And when we are weak, we can become strong. And so keep going. Keep going forward and trust God. Through whatever you're going through, God is always there. And somebody say amen. Let's all stand.